May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 75. 75. Behold the potter and the clay. He forms his vessels as he please. Such is our God, and such are we, the subjects of his high decrees. Hymn number 75.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the Word of God, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Reading from the first epistle of Peter and chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and our amen to it. And may he help us to call upon him in prayer. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear unto us at this time and help us to call upon thy great and thy holy name. It is our mercy that poor needy sinners able to enter into the holiest of all and to commune and communicate unto our God. We thank thee that it is by and through the person of thy dearly beloved Son who hath made access for us into the holiest of all through his flesh and the blood that he shed for sinners. And Lord, it is our only plea what thou hast done for us, and now ready to plead our cause and concerns and needs before God the Father. And Lord, we've got great needs, Lord, now. We've come to worship at thy feet, and we're sinners, Lord. And Lord, we feel it to be so vile and base betimes, no good thing to be found in us, all unclean. But oh, we thank thee for that precious blood of the Lamb of God that was shed for sinners, our only plea, our only mercy that we found. And we pray, Lord, as we plead that precious blood of thine, that we may know the blessedness of peace and pardon through thy blood, and acceptance with God the Father. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come to us and undertake the cause and the interest of each one of us at this time. Our need is great, Lord. O Lord, we do pray as thy gospel is preached and proclaimed before us. Oh, that, Lord, we may be blessed with those attentive hearts and minds. Thou didst open the heart of Lydia, Lord. She attended unto the things that Paul spake. She was troubled, we do believe, and burdened with her sin, opening her heart, revealing, Lord, the corruptions of the heart by nature. And yet mercy came. Oh, and that mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ, that mercy through his blood. Oh, she heard, she received, she was blessed in her soul. Christ died for her. And she was one who went forth and bore testimony to what Christ did for her. And Lord, we do pray for those attentive hearts and minds. The gospel is preached today, and it is preached to sinners. It is preached, Lord, to those who have been brought to feel their need of Christ. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear in the midst here
and that there may be those divinely wrought upon by and through the word. May they know the cleansing, healing virtue of thy precious sin-atoning blood to heal, to restore, to reconcile, to bring peace and pardon, Lord, we ask it. And we do pray, Lord, that this evening, that there may be some word in season for our souls, Lord, or that we may be brought to see our election sure in the Lord Jesus Christ, that election from before the foundation of the world, and loved of God the Father, blessed through Christ Jesus, salvation and redemption through his blood. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that it may be the blessing that shall come to sinners this evening hour, that their souls might live and have life and have it more abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ, to know redeeming love and blood, and to praise and glorify thy name for the wonders of thy grace and what thou didst come to do for sinners. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for thy vicarious death, that thou didst come, Lord, and purposefully to gather sinners unto thee, and through the gospel thou didst come to save sinners. And Lord, thou wilt find every one of them out who were all of the election of God. And Lord, we do pray that there may be those that should be found out here, Lord, if it would be thy gracious will, been brought to feel a need of thee, a need of a Saviour. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt work graciously and in the hearts of sinners, and that thou wilt be pleased to reveal and manifest thyself as Saviour and Redeemer of sinners. It will be our mercy, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, as we call upon thy name, that thou wilt be pleased this evening hour to enlarge thy kingdom, to gather unto thee, Lord, whomsoever shall be ordained to eternal life. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be that spiritual fruitfulness realized in this thy house of prayer. Not only, Lord, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of thee, for we do pray for that, Lord. We do seek to live nearer to thee, Lord. We do seek for a spiritual prosperity in our souls. We do seek to know more and more what it is to be united to that living vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might be those branches bound up, Lord, in thee, and bear fruit unto righteousness. O Lord, help us in these things, we pray thee, for without thee we can do nothing. But Lord, may there be also a spiritual enlarging of numbers in this church, we pray thee. And we pray for each soul, Lord. Thou knowest the eldest to the youngest, Lord. And that grace may come, Lord, may abound over all sin. That grace, Lord, that pardons and forgives. That grace that separates. That grace that renews the soul. That grace that plucks brands from the burning. Oh, that grace that is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased then to manifest thyself to sinners. Remove the yoke of Satan from the neck, Lord. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, also wash away and cleanse from all sin, guilt and defilement. And Lord, we do pray that mercy may be found. Be with us each then, Lord, again. We seek and ask for thy presence to be known and felt in the midst of us, but personally, Lord, in our souls. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may feel thy presence, each one of us, through the ministry, the preaching of the gospel, through our prayers and our petitions, Lord, and also our praises together in thy name. Father, Son, and Spirit, Lord, we seek and desire this great blessing for our souls. Be pleased to come, Lord, in the midst of us. Work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Bring us, Lord, to feel after thee and to know what it is to deny ourselves, take up our cross and to follow thee, Lord. We do need, Lord, thy Spirit to be upon us. We do need, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to keep us poor and humble and low before thee, Lord. And then, Lord, we shall need thee. And we shall need thee in each and every step of the way. We will need thee, Lord, to take us by the hand and to lead us and to guide us all our journey through. Oh, Lord, we shall never come through ourselves, Lord. Oh, keep us from ourselves, Lord. Keep us from our own hearts by nature, Lord. Keep us and deliver us from our own strength, Lord, and remove all pride from us, Lord. And help us to walk humbly before thee all our days, seeking to follow thee, Lord, the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And we do pray, Lord, be with us then in each and every step of the way. Keep us close unto thee, Lord, and rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. Bring us through our journeyings forth here below. Be that one to uphold us and to keep us in the way, Lord, and come to all our help and all our need as we journey forth, Lord. And help us in all things to wait upon thee, Lord, to know the throne of grace, Lord, to commit continually all our cause and concerns and needs into thy hands. And Lord, not only the great things, Lord, but the little things and the small things, Lord. Oh, we need thee, Lord, for everything. Help us to come to thee, Lord, and to wait upon thee, Lord. Take hold upon thee, Lord, in faith and in love and at the throne of grace. And Lord, to be able, Lord, to own thee as that only one, Lord, who is able to do anything for us. Oh, we pray, Lord, help us to give thee the preeminence and help us to put thee first and foremost in all things, we pray thee, before us. Thy servant David could say, Lord, I have set the Lord always before me. Lord, help us to set thee always before thee, Lord. Always, Lord. In all things, all places, all times and all seasons, Lord, to set thee always before us, whatever trials, whatever afflictions, whatever troubles may arise, Lord, whatever may come into our path, the crooked things and the hard things, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to put thee always before us. Oh, it would be our mercy, Lord, to fall into thy hands, Lord, to fall into the hands of mercy, the hands of love, the hands of care and keeping, preservation, the hands that have been so watchful over us, cared for us over a long time. Oh, Lord, continue to be with us. We know, Lord, truly that thou dost bear long with us, Lord. You know, sadly, Lord, we confess, Lord, to failings and shortcomings. And, Lord, we do know of a truth at times that we have been left to ourselves, but, Lord, keep us from ourselves and keep us close unto thee. Teach us daily our need of thee. And we do pray, Lord, be with all Lord, those unable to attend the means of grace at this time, be with them, Lord. Keep them and preserve them in thy love and fear. Those that may be in sickness, Lord, and those in infirmities, and Lord, those unable to attend for many reasons, Lord, thou knowest. But Lord, be with them and uphold them and keep them, Lord, and watch over them for good and help them, Lord, to lay their cause and concerns before thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near to them and visit them in thy salvation and be the comfort and the peace of their souls. Oh, we spake a little, Lord, of consolation this morning, and Lord, thou art the only consolation to the souls of the poor and the needy of thy people. We haven't got any more comfort. We haven't got any more peace. We haven't got any more rest, Lord, for our souls, but what we find in thee, O Lord, to be our all and in all, and to appear for us and to uphold us in the way, to strengthen us in our faith, to encourage us still to go forward in thy name and against much opposition, Lord. O Lord, we do pray then, hear us in our prayers and petitions. We pray thee and be with us, Lord, once more, and help us to draw near to thee in thy word, and help thy servant to speak in thy name. Let thy servant be nothing, Lord, and Christ be everything in the pulpit. Lord, we ask it. Let thy servant decrease. Let Christ increase. Oh, let Christ be seen, Christ beheld, Christ glorified. Pardon our every sin, and be with us each, and be with us at the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, as we seek to remember thee and what thou hast done for guilty, ruined sinners. O Lord, humble us before thee, Lord, as we seek, Lord, to venture by faith to Calvary and to behold thee in our room and place, a suffering Christ for sinners. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 767. 767. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. All my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. Hymn number 767.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and reading from verse 13. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and reading from verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter was writing to the church that were in great trouble, conflict, affliction, trouble, trials, scattered strangers, persecuted for the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus. They became unsettled. Their minds becoming distracted. The opposition that they met with, it distressed them, discomforted them, brought them into trouble. Peter was well qualified to write to them. Remember that Peter, there was much of self and the creature in Peter at one time. Much of his own self-confidence. And he seemed to be a man that stood in his own wisdom, as it were. He thought he knew what was best. So the Lord, to put matters right with him, thought it that it was good that he should pass through Satan's sieve. Well, it's awful to pass through Satan's sieve. Peter discovered that. When he passed through that sieve, he was a big man. And he came out a little man. And that's the best place to be when we're in trouble. And Peter's qualified to write now. The Lord Jesus said to him, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The conversion didn't mean the conversion of his soul. He was already a redeemed soul. The conversion meant that change in his nature, dear friends. We have to be brought to nothing. And that is the words really of our text here. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own strength. Your own ability. Don't try and make amends for those things that have come upon us. It was trouble. But they're not to go in their own strength, their own wisdom. No more do they belong to themselves. They're owned. And it's the Lord that owns them. Not to forget then. Maybe then, whatever may come into our way and path, whatever may trouble us, afflictions, trials, sicknesses, diseases, tribulation. The Lord Jesus said that in the world ye shall have tribulation. We shall have tribulation if we are journeying on the way to the kingdom. There will be enemies about us. But Jesus says, and gird up your loins, Jesus says, be of good cheer. Can we be of good cheer when there's so much trouble about us? Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Who's he overcome the world for, dear friend? For his people. Gird up, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. I need this word for myself as well, you know. I always pray that the word that I preach is a word for myself as well. I'm no different to you. No different at all. I'm a poor man. I get troubled, become very tried at times. Circumstances. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. I need mind girding up at times. What does it mean? You know, if ever in the Eastern or the Oriental countries, and where they used and worn their long garments, they were in the way and hindered to many tasks that they might need to do. So they girded them up and fastened them round the loins, make it more comfortable to do certain things. That is what they did. So that they were free, comfortable to do certain things. Another word for this may be that word that that Paul wrote to the persecuted Hebrew Christians. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Oh, we don't want anything to hinder us, dear friends, in our way and path, to be a trouble and a burden to us. You see, don't let things come to rest upon our poor minds. You see, we've always got someone to go to. And we've got so much, dear friends, that we can look to that has been done for us, provided for us, dear friends, in the Lord Jesus. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, run the race that is set before us. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What is it? Today, what is it in our lives, our concerns? We do not know what may come into our way and path. Dear friends, it may be an instruction for us. We're not to look away from Jesus in our troubles and trials and difficulties. And the path that we're brought to walk out, remember that this, dear friends, divine permission that this came upon the scattered strangers, and they were fleeing for their lives. But dear friends, there's a wonderful truth in respect of this truth here. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Isn't it? That we've been so well provided in the Lord. Isn't he that one, dear friends, that we can come to? Oh, when troubles and trials and afflictions come into our way and path, dear friends, let us not look to ourselves. We've just sung, all the dross and the tin has to be consumed from us, dear friends. Everything that's useless to us, we've got to do away with it. You see, it's those things that Jesus has done for us. That is what we look to. He is the one whom we wait upon and seek. You see, our belonging is unto him. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We have so many precious things given to us whereby we can truly gird up the loins of our minds. One thing in respect of this is the truth of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have this wonderful truth. And when Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and showing them, put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Dear friends, the devil was here, persecuting. It goes out against, dear friends, the Lord's people. He hates Christ and he hates the gospel and he hates those, dear friends, that follow him. And you will find it in the world. And then he says a little lower down, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. It's the truth of the gospel. And all that we have, and all that we've been blessed with, by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have much, dear friends, that we can take and to stand against all enemies. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We have Christ, dear friends. We spoke of him a little this morning. He is the only comfort, consolation of our souls. He is the only one that can come and do anything for us. He is the only one, dear friends, that can come and abide within and bring peace and rest to us. He is the only one. And see, in his word and in his promises to his people, isn't it he, dear friends, put a wall of fire round about us to be the glory in the midst? Isn't he our protector and that one to defend us? You know, that wall of fire is the wall of his love, the wall of his grace, the wall of his providence, how he will enclose his people, dear friends, and hold them to himself. They're all in his hands. No man shall be able to pluck them out of his hands, dear friends. You see, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind? You see, how Christ is all our care and keeping. And we have, dear friends, that wall of fear, that gracious fear in our hearts. It holds us to him. And then the wonderful truth, dear friends, no weapon, dear friends, that is formed against the Lord's dear people shall ever prosper. No. Christ is all that we shall need as we journey forth here below. He has given to us his gracious promises. He is that only one that we can come to for all needed help and grace. And he's able to give it. He's able to strengthen and succor our souls, even when we come into despair and distress. He says, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right arm of my righteousness. Oh, that right arm of love. That right arm, dear friends, that will stand for his people. That right arm of omnipotence. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Bring your mind into peace and comfort. Settle it upon Christ. We shall be more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, we do not know what should be in our way and path. But let us fix our hearts and minds upon Christ, and we will have to turn away from our own strength. We'll have to cast all our care into his hands. You see, because he cares for us. And another truth is that the eternal God is our refuge. He is a place of refuge. He is a place that we can resort to, a place that we can come to. He is the only refuge that we shall need here below. And it certainly is in Jesus. He is our refuge. Take comfort with this. Let this be the consolation of our souls. We mustn't go about, dear friends, as though we haven't got someone who truly does care for thy soul and mine. He does. See the suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary. See how he loved thee. See how he's ready to and willing to give his life for thee, to save thee from thy sins, to save thee from utter despair, dear friends, in utter torment, to save thee from it. Isn't he going to care for thee then? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I've never been informed in the scriptures that those everlasting arms have been removed away from the Lord's people. They're always under them. They're always there. They will always carry. They will always bear us up. They will always support us. Let that be the comfort of our souls. He says that underneath are the everlasting arms. As he brought us thus far, still supported, those everlasting arms being beneath, they will never be removed, dear friends, never. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We may see this also. He says, I will be with thee, passing through the waters. The rivers shall not overflow thee. As thou walkest through the fire, it shall not burn thee. The flames shall not kindle upon thee. See that truth. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, going forth, dear friends, great trouble. But they're going forth, dear friends, into the furnace that was heated up 7 times more than it was wont. Even those that thrust them in got burned and died. But they went forth into that furnace. But there was 4 of them. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Christ is the keeper of his people. And he's always near to them. They are indeed the love. His only love. And we will never see such greater love that he showed to us than upon the cross at Calvary. And that love will never change. Will never alter. Let us cast our all upon him. Let us be able to come to him. Whatever may come in and upon us and in our way and path, whatever changes may come upon us, whatever may come to distress our souls, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, there's another blessing attached to this, dear friends. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Paul was one. He had a troublesome path, didn't he? The enemy was always behind him. Wherever he preached the gospel, Satan was behind him with all his emissaries and his agents. Paul never had any comfort. He knew that he would suffer much for the name and for the sake of Jesus, and he was ready to go forth. But what could Paul say? He says, forgetting those things that are behind. Dear friends, what a mercy it is to be able to cast those things from us and leave the Lord to deal with them. Leave the Lord to manage them. Forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting his former life and the life that he lived when he was an enemy to God. But reaching forth to those things that are before. Oh dear friends, this is the blessing, isn't it? These scattered strangers were in so great a trouble, and trials seem to be upon them. And whatever may come into our way and path, dear friend, we're journeying. And there's no looking back and going back, dear friends, in our journey. This is the King's highway to the kingdom. And we're in that highway. And we're going forward. Not looking backward. Forgetting those things that are behind. Christ put away all our sins, dear friends. That is our mercy. And he will deal with all our enemies. Reaching forth to those things that are before. I press. It was pressing by faith, dear friends. That faith that overcomes. It was pressing by faith through all his troubles and trials, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And, dear friends, we need grace. I need grace. You may think that I preach boldly and in some way positive, but I have to do it. I have to do it. I'm not saying that our path is easy and wholly comfortable. It won't be. But dear friends, we've still got Jesus. We've still got Jesus. He pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what was this prize that he was looking for? Henceforth, he said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. A crown of righteousness, a crown of life. It really means heaven and glory. Are we pressing? Are we going forward, dear friends? Every day that passes is a day behind us and a day nearer to our eternal rest. Isn't that the truth with us? Do we consider it? It is. And that he shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I just give another promise, dear friends. I shall have to go to the next part, but I just wanted to speak of this one. Joshua was going forth to the conquest and into the land of Canaan. He was going to command, be a leader of the children of Israel and take them in, dear friends. But you know, there were giants in the land, weren't they? They were real warfare and conflict men. But he was given a gracious promise. No man No man should be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Have you ever thought about that, dear friends? No enemy shall be able ever to stand before the Lord's people. No, we may think it, but it's true. No, it will never come to pass. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I shall not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, what a gracious word, what a gracious promise that was, dear friends. Can we go forth? Can our souls be strengthened, our minds be comforted with that promise? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Oh, dear friends, we've got so much in the scriptures. I could spend the whole of this discourse just on this one part, but I do wish to speak about the others. Remember, dear friends, we have Christ, who is our all and everything, and we do not need anyone else. Need no one else, dear friends. He's the only comfort of our souls. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Have not I commanded thee? Have not I told thee? Have I not spoken to thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Could we ever have such a precious word as that, dear friends, to lay hold upon by faith, to take us through our course here below and to bring us to the end? The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What a comfort that is to the mind. Oh, may the Spirit of the Lord apply these things to us. We're not journeying without Jesus. The Hebrew Christians were persecuted, but dear friends, Paul came to them, disclosed so many precious truths to them. And so here, the scattered strangers. Be sober. This word, be sober, it means watchful. That's what it means, watchful. And dear friends, let us watch for our souls. Let us watch, dear friends. When troubles and trials and afflictions come upon us, where our hearts will be turned. Dear friends, we're not to look that way and this way and the other way and blame this and blame that and blame the other, dear friends. Everything is by divine permission that comes to us. Be sober and be watchful, dear friends. The Lord's hand in every part of our lives, the Lord's hand, and it's a gracious hand. It's a hand, dear friends, of love and grace and mercy. The Lord's hand is upon and towards us. And let us be sober and watchful. And there is a reason for this being sober and watchful. It's really and truly because, if I just go to the Thessalonians, and in chapter 5 he says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. That is the day of the Lord. It says ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Dear friends, This is what the word sober means, to watch, dear friends. And we're children of the light and children of the day. It's the Lord that has enlightened our minds. It is the Lord that has come to us and appeared for us to change us and to renew us by his grace. We're not the children of darkness anymore, dear friends, and the children of the night. The Lord has raised us up that we should become his children, and we're children of the day and children of the light. We have been enlightened. Our souls have been enlarged and blessed under all the comforts and the blessings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children of the day, children of the light, that is what we are. And this is being sober, watchful. Dear friends, it's a part of our lives to be watchful and to be sober. May the Lord help us to be so, and particularly in respect of that day and the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter writing in the fourth chapter and in verse 7, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand." It is. The end of all things is at hand. Our lives and the few days that we have here below cannot be compared with eternity. Eternity, I can't describe it. It's endless. It's everlasting. What are the few days here upon the earth for us? We live, dear friends, as a handbreadth. Not very broad, is it? But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Let us know the throne of grace. You see, watch unto prayer. Wait and watch and be sober. And it's waiting for the coming of the Lord. And that's important to us. Every one of us should be praying, watching and waiting for the Lord. That day is at hand. And you might think, well, several decades ago, or perhaps 1,000 years ago, it wasn't so to them. Dear friends, these are a few days here upon the earth, and we're going to enter into an eternity. I can't explain that. Something endless. And we're going to be with Christ for an eternity. We're going to behold him for an eternity. And we'll never grow weary of it, you know. We'll never grow weary of that. No. New creatures. A new life entirely. Everything concerning the old man of sin is gone. Never to hinder us anymore. Be sober. And hope to the end. Hope. It's one of those graces of the Spirit that the Lord is pleased to give to his people. It's a hope, dear friends, that the Lord's people have and bear with them. It was a hope that the Lord gave to us when we were sinners, when we were seeking him. When he showed to us our sins and iniquities, when, dear friends, the Spirit of the Lord convinced and convicted us of our sins, we were rendered guilty. And we were brought, dear friends, burdened and tried over our sins. sorrowing, godly sorrow. But each and every one whom the Lord will convince and convict of their sin, he will give them a hope. He isn't going to leave us in despair. We trusted in him. We trusted in this hope. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. The hope that he would bless us with his salvation. The hope that he would come to us. The hope that we were given. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That word trusted in the margin means hope. And we became prisoners of hope. But it was a hope, dear friends, that was God-given. It was a hope that centred in Jesus. A hope that centred in his finished work at Calvary. That was the hope that we were blessed with. When Christ came, oh, we found that mercy. We found salvation. Oh, we went on our way rejoicing. Sins pardoned and forgiven. And that word forgiven is one of the greatest words in Scripture, dear friends. The greatest word for any sinner to be forgiven. It's the greatest mercy that can ever come to us. Nothing like it. We had this hope. That is what we looked for. We wanted to be forgiven. All our sins, trespasses, iniquities. That is what we wanted. That is what we prayed for. That is what we hoped for. And we continue in hope. And we have a hope in trouble, in affliction's path, in trials, in afflictions here below. We have still a hope in Jesus, a hope in him. David was in great trouble, particularly in respect of Absalom. He was thrust back out into the wilderness. He was in great trouble. He had to flee for his life. And he was brought into great trouble and trial and distress. But he was able to come to this truth. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For he alone is the help of his countenance. He's still under the favour of God. His only help is his God. And his hope was in it and upon it. His only hope. And you see, is our only hope. And let us have this hope in him. It's a gracious gift of the Spirit, dear friends. Faith, hope and charity. One of those great gifts that will bring us through our course. We're not hoping in things that are seen and things that are temporal. And things that are but for a moment. No. We're hoping in those things, dear friends, that are reality and truth and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in him, that he is able to come to our help and to our need. And he is our only hope to bring us through our course here below. And this hope is an anchor to the soul. Oh, it's an anchor to the soul. Just as an anchor is to a great ship, it holds it, even in the rough seas. And dear friends, in all our trials and troubles and afflictions here below, if we got this hope in Christ and this hope, dear friends, it anchors in and upon him, and it's steadfast. It holds us to him. And he's the only one we need, dear friends. In the troubled waters, the trials and the afflictions, he is our only hope to bring us through. It's a hope that is fixed and steadfast upon Christ. And it is a good hope through grace. A good hope. It's a hope, dear friends, that we can use. We've been given this hope. It centres in upon Christ. You know these things here that are spoken of here. It's so that we shall never look to ourselves. We shall never be left to wholly faint in the way. No. It says hope. And it says hope to the end. And in the margin that means perfectly. Well, how can we hope to the end perfectly? What does it mean? This hope will bring us, dear friends, and it will bring us all our journey through to the end. And this hope, dear friends, in the grace of it, in the love of it, dear friends, in the gift of it as the Holy Spirit, it's a perfect hope. And it's to be relied upon, trusted in. That's what it is. We're not left to fret, dear friends, with such a hope as this. It is one of those graces that will bring us through. Hope to the end. Perfectly. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is coming again. That is why we have to be watchful and sober and prayerful. And it is going to be, it's termed as grace. And it is a wonderful grace that the Lord is coming again. That the consummation of all things, when the last elect vessel of mercy is gathered in to his kingdom, there shall be no further need of the gospel. The fountain of Christ's blood, it will cease to run. The church is saved and redeemed. And this is the hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. It will be wonderful grace to come into the presence of the Lord, to be forever with him, and that we shall see him as he is and behold him, this real man that came and suffered, bled and died for sinners. The Lord Jesus, no more sin. No more affliction, no more trials, and no more that we should offend him anymore. No. And we shall be with him forever. And dear friends, there will never become a weariness upon the flesh. In that sense of the word. We won't be in the flesh in that sense of the word. But we will never grow weary. Dear friends. Never grow tired. It will be everlasting happiness, joy and peace. And this will be the mercy, this is the grace that is coming when the Lord will come again. Are we praying? Are we waiting for that glorious day? It says that, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We cannot fully understand how it shall be with us. Even John, a greatly learned man, could not, dear friend, show to us the exactness of how things would be. But we do know that we shall see him as he is. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is." And can we look to the end? Dear friends, does this brighten up, dear friends, that view to us of what we suffer here below? It is only but for a moment. And dear friends, we have a far more weighty and exceeding glory before us, even in eternal life. This is the truth here. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end." May the Lord help us to continue in his name, and support and strengthen us in our souls, and remember that whatever may come into our way and path, it's an unknown path. The Lord knows the path. But dear friends, we've always got Jesus, and he's the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever, unchanging in his love, his grace and mercy, always near to his people. And dear friends, it's incumbent upon us that we should grow nearer to him. It really and truly is. May the Lord help us to do so. And may we glorify his name as we continue here below. And may he keep us faithful to himself, faithful to his truth, faithful to his cause, faithful to follow him, and faithful to follow in that path that he has ordained for us. Whatever might be in that path, dear friends, there will be good in it. Even though it might be trouble, there will be good in it. There's good here, dear friends. They were scattered strangers and in trouble, but there were so many things here that they could lay hold upon to bear them up and support them and strengthen them. And there's so many things that we've got, dear friends. May the Lord help us to bear them with us, to journey with them, and let nothing hinder us in our way and path. We're journeying to the kingdom, and the crown of righteousness awaiteth for us that great day. May the Lord help us to continue. Amen.
Mr. Ince hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after this service. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett, who is also expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 737. 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear, my request vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
Thank you.
Please to bless the ordinances of thy house this day, all that has been done and attended in thy name, and to thy honour and thy glory. Pardon and forgive everything that we may have thought or said or done amiss. And take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us each in every step of the way. Lead us and guide us all our journey through. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.